Oh, yeah, welcome to the Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports, the RSG Crew Renegade Radio. All I got to say tonight is...
I want winners.
You're going to drop it off like that. We want winners. Start it off with some Mike Singletary. Get you in the mood. For the next 2 hours, we're going to hold you down. You know, your internet radio corner boys. We're going to keep it hot for you. We're going to walk you through some things. Show you around a little bit. A lot going on this week, as usual. We got a banging show for you. And I got my man's in them, you know. Yeah, we got to talk about that for a minute, man. We got to touch on the BET Awards, the BET
yeah.
Hip Hop Awards last week, man.
Yeah.
The cipher.
Yeah.
with Slaughterhouse was off the hook. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, it was. Probably the illest one that was. But yeah, DMX made a comeback. You know, you had the Cyphers. And you know what, man? BET doesn't get a whole lot right. But that part of the Hip Hop Awards, I think, is the freshest, one of the freshest things BET has done since the booth on Rap City. You know, just to have different cats get in there. And they get cats from all over. They had a French cat in there. I didn't know what he was talking about, but it sounded nice.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, you know, DMX came back, so I had to drop on my mans and them real quick. So I got my mans and them holding me down. I got my man D. Wills on the line. Holler at the people.
You know, everybody, I am working on my handshake. I just want y'all to know that. I am working on my handshake. And I did like, I want to say, BET Awards. I'm still trying to figure out the Heavy D thing, but I love Heavy. So I still don't know how I feel about the segment.
Hey, they got to work.
Diddly down. I just couldn't. It was all out of context for me. I couldn't.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
man. And like I said, there isn't a whole lot the BET gets right, you know. And that was gonna be a true to form. We also got Phil T Sports PhD holding us down. He's coming out the 3-man. We've got a sweat worked up. Yell at him for a moment, partner.
Really enjoyed the DMX. Thing, him and Swiss Beatz on the BET Awards. Best line of the night for the Cypher was from Joe Budden. I got this chick from Uptown. She my summer bunny. Both parents are broke, but she come for money. Yeah, that was the best Cypher line. And as far as tonight, I'm that cat. When you in class, And you get that pop quiz or you get that test and you take that once through, you look through it to see how much you know. I'm that cat. I mean, this is how prepared I am tonight. I'm that cat. I look through it. I'm like, this is all the teacher got. That's all he got for me. That's how prepared I am tonight.
All right. Oh, man. I just discovered a new feature on the website. They got a new studio set up. Oh, hell, Game Changer got some new toys. Let me see, man. What we got here?
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, hell no. Anyway, I'm not going to play with that on air, but I'm going to have to mess around with that, you know, momentarily, you know, while we got a little breaks and stuff. You know, I'm going to have to check into that. But, man, we got a slamming show for y'all. We're going to get into it, as we always do about this time, leading off the show with the funky editorial.
Fellas, only one thing we need to say.
Yes,
shall we say it, y'all?
Yes,
Melvin,
right.
Jimmy,
yes.
Coleman,
yes.
Ryan,
yes.
Sit.
Yes.
Everybody want to get funky one more time.
All right. So, for this week's funky editorial, you know, the Red Sox lost about a week and a half ago. They bowed out of the playoffs. Now, in the aftermath, you have the Cubs courting Theo Epstein. You have the rumors about Terry Francona and his ability to control his locker room or inability to control his locker room. And with that, some interesting things have been revealed about things that went on. In the Red Sox clubhouse, the talk of rally beers, Popeye's chicken, you know, guys playing video games during games. So I want for the Funky editorial, the Real Sports guys are going to dig into this issue and talk about locker room decorum. What's appropriate? What would you accept as a fan from your favorite team as far as things that can go on in the locker room? And then we're going to do something extra special for you guys out there. We're going to have a fantasy draft of crazy. All right, so we're going to try to put together the craziest locker room that we can. And each of us is going to go around and pick a guy, and we'll see if we can put together a pretty wild-ass locker room. So to start it off, let's just get into the idea of what's okay, what's not okay. What do you think of this story? Is it just sour grapes by the folks in Boston? You know, because this was okay in 04. Because I don't think this is something that just happened. You know, the 04 team was known as, you know, a bunch of goofy guys or whatever they called themselves. But it was just a cast of characters and a bunch of crazy dudes. You got Manny going into the wall, you know, those kind of things. Now all of a sudden it's a problem. So I'm going to talk to the D-Wheels. Just explain this to me, man. How do you see this? Is this an issue to you? Is it not an issue? How do you feel about this?
It was hard for me to even digest. I couldn't even imagine when they're talking about the Rally Bears, Popeye's Chicken, and they interviewed Holiday today on ESPN. And the funny thing about it, this tells you how weird baseball players are. He didn't get mad at the Rally Bears and the Popeye's Chicken. He's like, the video game. He got mad at the video games. And I'm thinking, baseball is, we talk about crazy. We might have a list of just baseball players that just, that's something that just in a competitive thing, I'm like, beer and chicken, that's after game type stuff. But baseball has always just been a little different, you know. It doesn't matter if you're playing or not. It's like, even though you're not playing, there's a lot of sports where you're not playing and folks are not going to be doing other things. And so, you know, there's certain things, it's like winning. I mean, winning cures a lot. There's a lot of things we overlook when teams win. When they lose the way they lost, you know, everything gets amplified. If it's part of the culture of baseball, that it sounds like it's the culture, then for me it's not a big deal. It sounds like other people win doing some of the same things. I think the biggest problem that the Red Sox had was it sounds like chemistry. I think we underestimate chemistry. And if in baseball, you know, having a beer, eat some chicken, bring that chemistry together, then, you know, do what you need to do. Is that what I want my team doing? I don't think so. But certain sports have a culture. And we got brought inside, you know, another aspect of baseball that's part of culture. Sounds like it's not something that – sounds like it's something that's not just a Red Sox thing. It sounds like it's something that other teams do. And, you know, they got a lot of idle time. And so their biggest issue was chemistry. So however they create chemistry is something they need to address. And if that means you share some Popeye's chicken together and get that honey mustard and dip or whatever you need to make it work for you, some hot sauce, you do what you need to do if you win. Winning cures everything at the end of the day. And when Red Sox aren't winning, all these things like this are going to come up and they're going to blame whatever they got to blame.
I heard it and I kind of laughed, man. It's baseball. You know, the reason you don't see cats doing that in football, basketball, is because you got to get up and sprint at some point a few times consecutively. You know, you got to do some consecutive sprints at some point. And doing that with a little beer in your belly and some chicken on your breath is not conducive to your success as an athlete. You know, whereas in baseball, you're chilling, you're kicking it for about, you know, 30-40% of the game, you kind of just spectating. You watching just like everybody else. You just got a good ass seat.
And the cat playing softball on Saturday is like, I can see that. You know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Exactly. We know those, man. You've been, you know, I don't play rec softball, but I know people that do play rec softball. And the best part of it for them is drinking while they're playing. It's not drinking after the game. It's drinking during the game. You know, that's the whole point of it. So to me, it wasn't that big of a deal. I think it was sour grapes by Boston fans. I think they're a little bit upset that the team lost. Now they want to dig into, oh, they didn't take it seriously. They drinking during the game. They was doing that when they won the World Series too. Y'all didn't say nothing. Winning cures everything, man. You know, and that's how I look at that. Phil T, what's your take on this situation?
You know, I'm with you guys. I think it's part of the baseball culture. And Marcus, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, baseball is one of the few sports. I mean, I can't think of another one on top of my head right now in which, you know, a quarter of your roster, four or five guys, you know, a fifth of your roster, they know that they're not going to be playing. And oftentimes they know that they're not going to be playing for two or three more games. You know, when you talk about starting pitchers, you know, I mean, there's just no way they're going to get into the game. It's not like you are the seventh guy off the bench or the third guy off the bench in basketball where your number can get called at any time, or even you're the backup quarterback, you know, where you might not take a snap all season, but you never know. Like Vince Young, you got to be ready. Vince Young was not ready on Sunday.
The dream team.
yeah. So for me, like you said, they were the idiots in 04. They won. You know, I look at it like household rules, okay? You know, if you and your wife are raising kids, you know, or you and your wife and your relationship, you guys have rules. You guys have agreed upon rules. And they may be different than what your neighbor does, what your brother does, what your cousin does with their family. But as long as you and your wife or the family's on the same page, there's no issue. And that's the thing with Francona. My thing is if Francona was cool with it as the manager, you know, if he had a set of rules and the guys need to follow that, and if he was okay with them having beer on days off, if they weren't pitching, if he was okay with them not being on the bench, which, you know, most managers don't care about that. I mean, baseball's so unique. You got guys who may have to pinch hit at some point. They'll go underneath the, you know, in the clubhouse and take batting practice for 15, 20 minutes. You know, starting pitchers, when they come off the field, you know, in between innings, they typically don't want to talk to anybody but their catcher, if anybody. So these guys being in the clubhouse, they weren't taken away from the team at all. I mean, they're not doing anything but chewing on sunflower seeds on the bench and cracking jokes and maybe watching pitch sequences, which actually, if you're in the clubhouse, you probably have better access to that because you can watch it on TV, so I don't see any issue with it. You know, I think people are just looking for a reason to explain why these guys tanked in September, and they just tank. Sometimes there really is no explanation. They just tank.
So any listeners out there, if you want to join in on this conversation, feel free to call into the station, 1-347-989-0844. Excellent take by the Sports PhD. Now, you know, I agree with both of you guys. I think, you know, the Boston fans just need to get over it. I think they're looking for a way to divorce themselves from the Epstein-Francona tandem, and this was their way. You know, it's kind of one of those situations where you've been with somebody for a while, and they've had bad habits. They had this one habit that gets on your nerves, but other stuff has been going really well, and you've been putting up with it. And then one day, you know, just they drink out of the orange juice jug or something like that, something silly, something that's just like trivial. You know, they drink out of the orange juice jug. They've been drinking out of the orange juice jug. Then all of a sudden, one day they drink out of the orange juice jug, and all of a sudden now you're flipping out, you're packing up your stuff, and you're leaving. That's what this seems like to me. Boston just needs an excuse to kind of cut the cord, break all ties, and emotionally divest from the Epstein and Francona tandem. Now that Epstein's flirting with the Cubs,
yeah.
And now that Francona flirting with the Cubs, and you know you hate to see your ex happy.
Yeah, I mean, be happy. You guys did not win the World Series for 80, 90 years, and all of a sudden you win two in like 4 or 5 years. Be happy. Be thankful.
Yeah, big time. Chill. It'll all come clean in a wash. You know, you still got the second highest payroll in the league. You'll be all right. Cool your jets. So, with that said, though, you know, this does bring up an interesting thing. You know, there have been some crazy locker rooms, the Bronx Zoo, you know, the Mets in the 80s, I'm sure the locker room was crazy. The 90s Cowboys, you know, we've all heard stories about the things that crew got into when you got Nate Newton and Michael Irvin, you know, hanging out together. A man who was caught by the police transporting 200 pounds worth of marijuana. We got Michael Irvin, who got pulled over and they found crack in his car, and he said it was his cousins, who didn't happen to be with him at the time. You know, historically there have been some pretty crazy locker rooms. You know, I imagine the paces of the early 2000s locker room, when you got Steven Jackson and Ron Artest and Jamal Tinsley and cats like that all in the same locker room. I'm sure they had some interesting conversations and some interesting nights on the town out in Indianapolis. So we're going to try real quick, go through a crazy athlete fantasy draft. All right? So entertain us for a moment here as we get into this. All right? I'll take the first pick. I'll give my nominations. We'll each give nominations. I know PhD, we call him PhD for a reason, all right? Because this brother digs in.
Okay?
This brother digs in, all right? He doesn't give you data. He doesn't give you data. He gives you data, all right? PhD doesn't research things. He does research, okay? There's a difference. Anybody ever been to grad school know what I'm talking about. It's one of those interesting things about how people talk different in grad school, you know. You know, I go in there, hey, look at the data I picked up. Data? What's that? You need to have some data, young man. You need to collect data. I was like, I did. I got the data right here. So we want you to have data. But I did all my research. What? Research? Young man, we want research. You need to refine your research. What? that's how grad school is, man. That's how grad school is, you know. They don't want data. They want data. They don't want research. They want research. But that's what PhD brings to the table for the real sports guys, all right? So he got like a laundry list. I got three guys. I came up with these guys off the top of my head. D. Wills is coming into class late, fumbling through his backpack real quick, trying to get his homework done while the teacher's lecturing. So I'll go first. Then we'll go to D. Wills, and then we'll let PhD back clean up. All right. So my three, I got three guys who I think are pretty volatile characters. But they're also decent performers when their head's on straight. And that's the combination we were kind of looking for. I told the guys kind of take it wherever you wanted to take it. I got Big Z, Chicago Cubs, pitcher, Carlos Zambrano. Crazy. All right? Big Z is crazy. Screaming at his teammates, screaming at his coaches, cussing out the other team. That's how he gets down. All right? he giving a finger to fans. You know, he's throwing hot dogs at people. Big Z don't care. Coming in next, my next nomination, Milton Bradley. The angriest man in the world. Milton Bradley is angry all the time. Milton Bradley wakes up angry. Milton Bradley eats his cereal angry. Milton Bradley kisses his wife angrily. Milton Bradley is just pissed off. He's been pissed off since he was little. And then I got Steven Jackson of the NBA, Charlotte, and of the Milwaukee Bucks. We got Steven Jackson's going to be hanging out in Wisconsin, so I actually may want to chill on my analysis of Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson's a really nice guy, unless you're sitting in section D, row 4 of the Palace in Auburn Hills. You do not like Steven Jackson if you're that guy. The guy he hit with a double dragon-style punch. If you're that guy, you don't like Steven Jackson. Okay? when that fight, when the Malice in the Palace broke out, there was not a person more excited to fight than Steven Jackson. I have never seen a human being bound through so many rows of people to throw a punch. I mean, he beat Ron Artest into the stands as if he knew it was happening. Like, you know how you grow up and your mother says, don't hang with that kid because that kid is trouble. And then you hang with that kid. And then when the trouble comes, he takes off before the trouble actually happens. Like, he starts running. He's got that radar for BS. He's got that radar for trouble because he is a troublemaker. And so troublemakers know when some trouble is about to happen. And that's Steven Jackson. He knew something was finna go down. The boy jumped into the crowd. I think he took like two steps, and he was in like the 10th row, swinging on people and hitting old ladies, kicking kids, he was taking out security. Steven Jackson is crazy, all right? He is. And then his baby mama is on Basketball Wives.
Wow.
He was engaged to a woman for 9 years and did not marry her. And she is now very bitter. So Steven Jackson is my third nominee. So I'm going with Big Z, Milton Bradley, and Steven Jackson. That's how I'm starting off the locker room. D-Wills, who are you throwing in the mix?
Well, I had Steven on my list. I think he'll get some votes. But I'm going to go with Delonte West.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Captain, team pitcher. His list is long. But the longest part is messing with the big man's mama is not the way to go. It gets shipped out. Now he working at Farmer's Fleet. Where he working at? Trying to make his money. The cat has just got issues. So Delonte's on the team. I don't care how he. Another person that's crazy, just crazy, is Brian Wilson, reliever for San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Every time you see that cat, even the commercial he does right now with the double X, whatever, they look crazy. Every time you see him look crazy, like he's going to bite somebody. He got to bring in the hole. He's going to come out of nowhere because I don't think, because they've been so bad so long, people don't remember how crazy he was. Is Steve Smith for the Carolina Panthers. Remember when he was fighting everybody? Coach had to kick him out. He was acting crazy. He was like, how is this little cause? He's like the Tasmanian devil with his team. He's fighting everybody. Everybody, mom fight. They kicking him out of practice, broke his hand. I mean, the cat just is crazy. So he's one of them. And I say the coach is Rex Ryan. Just because I think he's the only one who can keep them all in order. It's either got to be Rex. Or it got to be Jim Harbaugh. But one of them two are the only two that can actually keep them focused.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I want winners.
He gets my vote. Mike Singletary gets my vote to run his locker room.
Actually,
don't forget, Mike pulled his pants down in front of the team.
Right. Do you have one of these?
I gotta go with Mike.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
This is exactly who we talk about. These are the type of guys we talk about right now. This is who Mike
cannot
is talking
play
about.
With him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
This is what you get at the crazy draft. All right, PhD. Bang cleanup. What'd it look like?
I'm going to start and end with my strongest ones, okay? So I'm going to start with Dennis Rodman, okay? you know what? There's nothing else that needs to be said about Dennis Rodman. I'm going to move to the next one.
I thought we're just dealing with current active players. I would have had Rodman on the list. Oh, I thought we were dealing with active, but okay.
Yeah. Bill Romanowski, the linebacker for the Broncos. The guy who likes to just spit on people. Just an all-around dirty guy. But I hear he's a pretty good teammate, so I guess that makes up for it. But, I mean, this dude just, he just go bipolar with it, borderline with it. He just kind of, you say good morning to this guy the wrong way on the field, watch out.
That dude needs a Risperdal.
That's right. Next, I'm going to go with Ray Caruth, the former Panther wide receiver. I mean, we're joking around, but this was a young man about 10, 11 years ago that actually killed his baby's mom. But up to this point, if you saw some of the interviews Ray Caruth had, unfortunately, there were signs. There were certainly some signs. This young man was certainly troubled. He was troubled. I'm going to come with Ricky Williams. I mean, what cat do you know that does interviews with his helmet on? Had to throw him into the mix. I got a wild card here. Tanya Harding. Remember her? The ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
He was a retard.
Nancy Kerrigan. I mean, just a 2x4 to the kneecaps. I mean, wow. And again, I said I was going to start and end with my strongest. I started with Dennis Rodman. I'm ending up with Lawrence Taylor.
Oh. Anytime cocaine's involved, they qualify.
That's right. Lawrence Taylor, Sir Lawrence from the Meadowlands, as Tony Soprano called him, the great linebacker for the Giants. The one example I had is he had this interview a couple of years ago, and he said, I was thinking about getting acting about 10, 12 years ago, and my agent comes to me and says, hey, there's this role in this movie called Any Given Sunday. And, Lawrence is like, I don't know, what will I have to do? And the agent says, you just need to be yourself. So Lawrence plays this linebacker who was on drugs, who was a skirt-chasing type of cat. He was wild and crazy, and he saw cars in half. Again, the agent said, just be yourself. That's my last
Hey. And what it boils down to in the end is...
I want winners.
And we got all winners, all right? So in the crazy draft, man, and that's leaving out cats like Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry,
Albert Bell.
Oh, Albert Bell, yes.
Yeah,
Special Albert. Band of crazy, yeah.
Chase Kids on Halloween. Was that one he did?
Rasheed Wallace. You got to have Sheed in the locker room.
We're going to the archives.
Yeah. He's the first-round draft pick.
Sheed's in the team picture for sure.
I mean, didn't this cat have, 40 technical fouls one year? 40?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the reason they have this rule in play now.
Right. He was arguing calls for him. That was just an and-one? That should be like an and-7, ref. that call doesn't exist. You should invent it right now. I'm angry.
Oh, man, I remember even on the video games, they had Sheed going crazy.
Right, he didn't check on the video game.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to have to sit out, Sheed. You're going to have to sit out for a moment. Oh, man, we got a caller joining us real quick. We're going to get them on.
None of us put our tests on there?
That was kind of an easy one. We got a caller coming in. Caller, what's up?
Hey, man, it's L Dog. I had to chime in because y'all forgetting the MVP of the crazy team.
Who's that?
Man, come on. Carl Everett. Y'all remember that cat?
Oh, yeah.
He is the MVP of the crazy team.
He was
Milton Bradley before Milton Bradley, all right? And another person y'all forgetting on the all-crazy team is Chuck Persons.
Dude was the crazy. Rifleman.
Yeah.
The rifleman.
But that's it.
He fights you.
Hey, can't forget Anthony Mason. Can't go nowhere with Anthony Mason.
Yeah, Anthony Mason.
Oh, man. We could do this all day, man. Oh, Lord have mercy. We didn't even gotten to the Pac-Man Jones of the world.
I know. I was about to say Pac-Man, but it's irrelevant. That's the key.
Right.
All these other folks.
Yeah, I forgot about Carl Everett. I mean, isn't he the guy that went crazy when there was a teammate that said he was gay or something? I mean, he just so
Oh, man. All right, we're going to keep it rolling. Excellent. That was a lot of laughs right there. We're going to keep this rolling. All right, we're going to get into the fives on the black-hand side. So let's go ahead and jump into that.
Five on the black-hand side.
All right, here we go. We got the five on the black-hand side for this week. And this segment of the show, we give each other five topics, and we just kind of go on about these topics for a little bit and see where the conversation takes us. All right, for this week, first we're going to start out World Series preview, Rangers versus the Cardinals. Who has the upper hand? And, you know, who's going to – every year in the World Series, there's a couple unsung guys who step up and make big plays. Who are some guys that the listeners out there – can keep an eye on, should keep be keeping their eyes on to see if these players come up with those key plays down the stretch. I'm gonna toss this one to our resident baseball guy, PhD.
Well, for me, the biggest issue with the Cardinals all year was their bullpen. And, I mean, they have like four or five guys on the team that have at least five saves or more. It was like a revolving door of trying to find a closer that could get it done. And so far, Jason Mott has come up pretty big the last couple of weeks of the season. In the playoffs, I don't think he's allowed a run, and he's got four or five saves already. So, honestly, I think if the Cardinal bullpen can hold leads or hold them close and get to Mott, I think Mott's going to be the guy that kind of determines how well or how bad they do.
Okay. And who do you think is going to take this series?
You know, I was just talking to RJ Page, who we had on a couple of weeks ago to talk about baseball. We're probably remiss not having him on to talk right now, but, you know, we were kind of going back and forth, and he actually picked the Rangers to represent the American League. I'm going to go with the Cardinals, though. And I really don't have a good reason. My wife and I call the St. Louis area our home now. So that's my my evidence, kind of like my man Kane. That's my my position there.
That's that Herman Cain. Hey, here we go.
I don't have facts to back this up.
I can't believe that brother said that out loud, man. I'll hear it again.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Then shut up. Refrain from talking. Oh, Lord have mercy. Man, bless that brother. Hopefully the Republicans don't eat him alive. Oh, man, because eventually they're going to figure out he's black. And it's going to be on. It's going to be like that Chappelle skit. But to black white supremacists.
Great, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm going with the Rangers. And again, I don't really have a good reason, so, you know, I'm going to plead to Herman Cain on this one as well.
I don't have facts to back this up.
I'm just going to go with the Rangers off of gut instinct. Steve Wills, jump in, please. Save us, man.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this thing out, and I think part of this is going to go back to that All-Star game that gave the Cards the home field advantage in the World Series. And if the Rangers had, you know, game one at their house, I would say, you know, the Rangers are going to get this in six, probably like Nolan Ryan. But this is going to be difficult. There's something about Tony La Russa. And this is going to come down to how many innings actually the Cardinals starters can eat up. Because the bullpen from watching has been, I mean, he's been changing pitchers. He's been managing every inning. He's been really trying to get to, as Phil said, to Mott. But if they could get some innings, if the starters could eat up a few more innings along the way, because I think they've been exhausting themselves getting to this point, that's going to give them an advantage. I think starting out at home is equaling it out for them because they're under the energy of the fans. But I think this is, you know, it's been some unsung heroes, like, or not in some ways, folks like Cruz and Freeze who have been getting them through these rounds. But I think this is going to be a round for superstars, you know, the Pujols of the world and folks like that, Hamilton, you know, I think I got everybody right, to kind of step up in the big moment. You know, because like in any sport, sometimes at the biggest moment, it's for stars to show up. So I'm going to go with, I said all that, I can't go against La Russa. Because it just looks ugly. I'm going to go with Cards, and I'm going to say it's going to be in six or seven. And on paper, it does look like that, but I just can't go against him. I can't go against him.
So you're going with La Russa?
Yeah, I hate to say it, man, but he makes something out of nothing every time. I don't know how he does it. Start taking a
man, just really say what you want to say right now, man.
I don't have facts to back this up.
I have nothing to back it up, man. I want to say the Rangers, man, but I can't. I hope it don't drive my boy to start drinking. The manager.
Hey, man. And Ronald Washington, man, this is a cat that doesn't get a whole lot of credit, man. But this cat is killing me, man. He looks like somebody's uncle. That they threw on a ball cap and just started managing the team. Don't he? I mean, is that just me?
I mean, it looks like a process. I mean, is it a process? Is it a perm?
What you got going on up top, bro? What's wrong with your natural?
I swear, you
like Cedric said, it don't quite curl all the way.
It looked like he got a pack of Pall Malls in his pocket and a big ass green bottle of liquor. You didn't know what was in the bottle, but whatever it was, you knew it wasn't good for you.
Right, it was strong.
It was strong.
You know, I mean, it's a perfect example of how our society is so forgiving. I mean, what was the beginning of this, what, the 09 or the 2010 season?
Mm-hmm.
My man was, I mean, he tested positive for cocaine.
Yeah.
In spring training, and a year and a half later, less than 2 years later, no one talks about that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, no one talks about it. I hope Barry Bonds is listening. Barry Bonds, did you see what Mark McGwire did? And now his team's in the World Series, and no one's talking about it. They're not talking about it. They're done with it.
It's over with.
Yeah.
We moved on.
Right.
You know, if you allow people to move on, they might. You know, that's a crazy thing. That's the crazy thing about folks. If you let them move on, they just might move on. You know. But, yeah, I mean, it's true, man. I mean, and Ron looks like he might have tried PCP back when PCP was hot. He looks like he might have been a charm head.
And talk about, you know, I don't have no evidence for it. You know, he's having them deep conversations, but
right.
I don't have facts to back this up.
You're saying it. I just hear it.
Oh, man. Hey, Ray, you there, man?
I think so.
Yeah, you here. My man Ray said, I think so.
I had trouble calling in, so it was a real funky connection the first time.
Okay.
I hung it up. It was something happened technically on the Blog Talk site, so.
Okay. All right, well, you in now, bro.
All right,
you
on with
it. All right, okay. So we in the, right now we're in the midst of the five on the black hand side. We're going to keep it rolling. We're going to go into this next one. Carson Palmer today got traded to the Oakland Raiders for a first round pick next year in the 2012 draft and a conditional first round pick in the 2013 draft. Good move, bad move. Did they pay too much? What you got, Ray?
Well, I didn't think Carson Palmer was a first-round pick when he was a first-round pick, so I don't think that I would have gave up that. But, you know, hindsight being 20/20, apparently the coach has a history with him and thinks that, you know, he can help that franchise. What I heard is that they were going to go after Leftwich if they couldn't get Carson. So I think that I think L. Davis is just rolling in his grave. Thinking that, you know, you just gave up your next two guys for a first-round pick for Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of on the other side of this one with you, Ray. I actually don't mind the move. I think the Raiders have a chance to win this year, and I think Al is okay with this because Al's motto was just win, baby, win. And they're 4-2 right now. They have a chance to win their division. They're a game behind the Chargers, who, again, at some point, the Chargers are going to have their swoon. They're going to slump at some point because they always do. Usually it's
right.
The beginning of the season. They seem to figure that out. And the Raiders want to stay in the mix. I feel like they had to do something. Two first-round picks, I do agree with you. It's steep.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is
and this
a whole
isn't baseball.
Lot.
This isn't the Yankees with CC Sabathia. You know, you don't a first round pick in the NFL should be a very, very big deal. I mean,
especially with the new CBA,
and,
especially under the new with the rookie cap and everything. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I still think it's a good move because I think they're finally at a point where they can go somewhere, and I think that I like to see them trying to go somewhere instead of just sucking it up and trying to, you know, deal with whatever it is. You know, they had as in their backup situation, which, you know, they got Kyle Bowler and Terrell Pryor, which I don't think either one of them right now is a starting caliber NFL quarterback.
No.
But the Raiders got all the other pieces. Darius Hayward Bay is finally starting to look like a ball player. The Denarius Moore kid is looking like like he's going to turn into something. Jacoby Ford is back and healthy. Darren McFadden, we talked about him last week. He kind of put himself into that elite running back category. So they got some pieces offensively, and their defense has always been solid and sound throughout this whole little swoon that the team has been in for the last decade or so. The defense has been a pretty consistent factor as being the side of the ball that has been sound and consistent, and it's been finding the quarterback, finding an offensive side. So, you know, they're going to have a real motivated guy, too. Carson Palmer has a ton of motivation. He's got to prove he can still play. He's got to prove that he was worth two first-round picks. So with all that motivation, I think they took lemons and made lemonade. And it may not be the best tasting lemonade in the world, but it's better than just sitting there with two lemons in your hand.
And I'm the one that thought Reggie Bush would be highly motivated. So what you have to assume then is the performance the last couple of years we've seen of Carson was attributed to environment and not his skills deteriorating. Because there are some losses that since he had that you would blame squarely on Carson. Not making good throws, not performing at a high level. What a decent, you know, receiving core, decent offense around him. So,
decent. He had a great receiving core.
He's never really had a bad receiving core.
You're right.
He had a great receiving core like 5 years ago. I mean, y'all seen Ocho in New England?
But
Ocho ain't setting the world on fire with probably a top two quarterback. He ain't setting the world on fire.
Yeah, I think
Ocho's big. Did y'all see Husmanzada in Baltimore last year? No, you didn't, because he didn't play.
what I would say is you have to assume that, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks, but those receiving corps are better than many receiving corps that Brady's had. Brady's had some folks you didn't even know about who he was making
right.
look good. So if you're a lead quarterback, you can make some stuff happen. And so the question here is, and I'm not saying right or wrong on this, but I'm thinking this is a big chance to take if you find out he's really McNabb. You know, we're just saying, damn. You finally realize, like, damn, my boy can't play no more. It's like, he just can't play. And so, in that.
Why you got to bring Donovan into this?
I was going to say, did I miss something that we talking about? Donovan?
Why you got to bring Donovan into the situation?
I try to blame it on Shanahan. I try to blame it on his dog. At a certain point, it's time to go to television. And so this is a big jump. There's something, and I think the only thing I can be safe about is that Hugh Jackson knows Carson. Carson knows Hugh. But those don't necessarily translate into wins because you haven't had a chance to really play. So this is a big chance. I'm glad the Raiders are being aggressive. I like that. I've been on Carson's tip and on his back for the last 2 years. I think he's been underperforming. I think, and I've been on it because it's been him. It hasn't been anything around him. It ain't been the play calling. It's just like he hasn't been playing. And I don't know if just being in that toxic environment, he was just like, check it out. That might have been it, but we'll see.
It was obviously a toxic environment for him. The man said he just was sitting out. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't, you know, he was just saying, I'm done. I'm good. Trade me or just leave me alone.
But it obviously was
a poor environment for him. Whether it was just him or whether it was the environment around him, the situation got so bad. Well, this cat just said, you know what, I'd rather not play football at all than to play for y'all. That's like you going to your job and being like, you know what, I really don't care. I'm just not coming to work no more. I hate this place. I'm not coming to work no more. You know what I'm saying?
But he still showed up and got his check. That was just, you know, that might be another reason why I really didn't, you know, think that a couple first round picks. I didn't know until, you know, just a few minutes ago exactly what picks they gave up for him. I knew that it was a really sweet deal for Cincinnati. You know, I don't know. It's Carson Palmer. You know, I would have a hard time thinking that you could get two first round picks for anybody but a Brady or yeah. somebody who.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're talking about your first round pick.
Yeah, I agree. And giving up the first round pick nowadays, where it don't cost you an arm and leg to sign a kid,
right?
I do question that, and I do give the Bengals props for turning nothing into something. Because you have a guy who's sitting out, who's not contributing to your team right now, and you turn him into, you know, two first-round picks. That's some good management by the Bengals, who usually don't do things like that.
That's Christmas. That's Christmas. That's, you know, you sitting around, this guy, he's at home, he ain't doing nothing for you, and somebody calls you up and says, you know, hey, we'll give you two first-round picks. That's incredible. Think about that. Who else would you give two first round picks for?
Yeah, and I heard an analyst today saying that in the irony of it, he says he looks at quarterbacks, he wouldn't put Carson in the top 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
So I mean, you know, you look up stats, you know, the stats in terms of what he's done over the last 2 years, he got like 33 interceptions. So. I mean, he got some. I mean, this is a big deal for the Raiders. I mean, they need to come.
They didn't do that shit when Al was alive, though. That's what bothered me. You know, this is the Raiders. You know, Al Davis could have done this over the summer. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, let Al pass away, and all of a sudden they're making these kind of moves.
Wow, winning.
Right. I don't know. That's a steep price to pay for somebody who, you know, could, you know, what if he don't like it there? Is he gonna sit out again?
Yeah, you know, I think they pretty sure that he's gonna come there and play, and I think, you know, I think they know he's coming in that because I think at the end of the day, you know, he wants to play football. You know, he wants to be playing football. PhD, what's your perspective on the whole situation?
Well, I actually like the move. I certainly, you know, can understand what Ray and Devon are saying, but you know, I liken it to the Lions. You know, the Lions right now are what, 4-1, 5-1. First time they've been this good in a really long time. If Matthew Stafford went down right now, he was out for the rest of the season, like Campbell went down. I would like to think, as a Lions fan, I would like to think and hope that the Lions do everything they could to try to get the best, like to try to save the season. You know, considering we haven't been this, you know, this good in so long, and I think that's what the Raiders did. You know, Carson Palmer, yeah, you know, he was a top overall pick in what, 03, 04, you know, had a couple of Pro Bowl years, and I agree, he's not a first-tier quarterback, but Jason Campbell, in my opinion, was a third-tier quarterback. And so Carson Palmer, once he's up and running, I'd like to think he's a second-tier quarterback. And, you know, Ray, you're exactly right. You don't give up two first-round picks for a second-tier quarterback.
Go back to your Lions. Would you give up those two first picks?
It's all about supply and demand. It's all about supply and demand because, I mean, the Bengals knew that they weren't going to get a better offer. The timing was just right. The timing is right. And so I actually applaud the Raiders for getting out there and getting the best possible quarterback that they could get. You know, who knows if they'll still make the playoffs or not, but if they don't, it's not for a lack of trying.
Right.
I think with his what is his salary? What are they paying him? I mean, this is not baseball. These players are not, they're not to be picked and chosen lightly. If you look at what a first-round pick means in the NFL, if you look at what Detroit did with their last two first-round picks, you look at what they has done with their last two first-round picks, and say, if both of them up to get Carson Palmer,
This is what I think they went for, Ray.
Like,
and this is
like baseball.
This is what I think they're giving up two first round picks for a quarter, not just for a quarterback. I think, and again, I do think two first round picks is real high for Carson Palmer. I can't say that enough. I think two first round picks is real high for Carson Palmer. But what I think they're trying to do and what they're trying to trade for is Carson Palmer plus a culture change, and I think. That's what Phil T is getting at. That's what Sports PhD is getting at, is that he would hope that the Lions would continue to try and harness this momentum that they have from this positive start and continue to use that momentum to push them in a positive direction. You can eventually possibly bounce back from losing those two first-round picks if you build a culture of winning within your program. But if you let your team slide back into that whole woe is us, we can't win, we can't do it kind of mentality, it don't matter.
But go back.
They've had high picks.
When Carson Palmer,
the Raiders been picking
high
for the last 10 years.
When Carson Palmer had one wide receiver, you know, they said, oh, wait till he gets another receiver. And then they got him another receiver, and they really didn't get any better. And they said, oh, we just need a little bit more. So they went and got
Terrell
Owens.
But as PhD said, is Carson Palmer better than Jason Campbell?
Sure.
Statistically, he hasn't been. Over those 2 years.
No, no, not the last 2 years. Of course not.
Well, then you roll with that. If he's not worse than Jason Campbell, then you roll with that and you keep trying to have a winning season this year.
The other thing we have to keep in mind,
hello?
Too, with the Bengals,
you
is that the Bengals
win
made the playoffs twice in the past 20 years. Twice in the past 20
right.
years. And Carson was at the helm both those times. And during that time, even when Cedric Benson was a top 10 back, you know, statistically, right now he's got a running game where Darren McFadden, I mean, you go right ahead and name two or three backs that are playing at a higher level than him right now. And when you look at the tools they have, offensively, I think they can be like the Texans. You know, maybe not as quite because they don't have Andre Johnson out there, but, you know, if the Texans are a 10, I mean, these guys can certainly elevate to be a 7 or 8 on offense, and that's a lot better than what they were last week with Jason Campbell.
And they have a chance to make the playoffs. They have a chance to win their division. They have a chance to make the playoffs. In a league that's built on parity, there's no guarantee they're going to come back next year and have the same opportunity. So I think they had to make a move again. Two first-round picks is ridiculous. Me and you see eye to eye on that. I still think Carson Palmer is as good, if not better, than Jason Campbell. And I also think that what they're trying to – what they traded for more than anything was a culture change. And they want to continue to go in a positive direction with this franchise. And sometimes that's what you need more than anything, more than draft picks, more than – your guys need to feel a couple wins. They need to get some – they need to feel some success. And that success will continue to breed more success. But if they were to let this team slide back behind a Kyle Bowler or behind, you know, even bringing in a guy like David Garrard or somebody like that who's just, I don't know if he's got anything left. I don't know if he's the answer. I feel better about Carson Palmer than I do about Leftwich or Garrard or, you know, any other cat that they would have picked up off the scrap heap.
The two first round picks
is a little steep. I think the Bengals came up on that, and I applaud the Bengals management for finally doing something, worthy of getting paid whatever they get paid. You know, I think the Bengals did come up in this situation. I think the Raiders were kind of caught in a situation where they had to make a move to save this momentum, and they overpaid.
I think it was one of those fool offers. I think the Bengals made a call and said, we'll take two first-round picks for Carson. Give us a call if you're interested. And when they called back, they asked, who is this again? Are you serious? This is highly, highly unbelievable.
The Bengals called and left a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again,
if this was a, you know, if, I mean, there's, how many teams in the NFL are sitting in their front office going, you know, I'd have gave up the guy I got, you know? But you don't think they're down in Baltimore going, shit, we'd have gave him Flacco for two first-round picks. And we're going to make the playoffs. we're going to make the playoffs, you know? Two first-round picks?
Oh, man. I hear you. I can just imagine the call,
you know.
Mike Brown calls up the Raiders headquarters and is like, yeah, you know, saw what happened to Jason Campbell, you know. It's a shame. you want to call Spawn for two first-round picks? Get back to me when you think. Think about it for a little bit. Don't answer now. Think about it. Get back to me.
Oh, man.
They had to do something. I'm not totally mad at it, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
Hmm. Like I say, this is the kind of stuff that can cripple a franchise for, you know, I remember the Herschel Walker trade, so, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
But again, what have the Raiders done with first-round picks?
Well,
they haven't had no success with first-round picks.
Well,
Why don't we just give you two busts anyway? That's all we're just going to do is jab two busts.
Robert Gallagher.
I mean, honestly, it's probably like, you know what? We don't know what to do with these anyway. Here, take them off our hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Well, let's keep it rolling. We're going to slide into number three. The handshake heard around the world. Harbaugh versus Schwartz. For those of you who've been living under a rock and haven't seen the highlights of this particular situation, this altercation, the 49ers go into Detroit and beat the undefeated Detroit Lions on the road, and Jim Harbaugh celebrates like he just won the Little League World Series. He's flying. He's hopping up and down, chest bumping his guys. And he and Jim Schwartz meet at midfield to do the ceremonial coach handshake or whatnot. And Harbaugh, I guess he squeezed his hand too hard and then gave him a shot on the back, in a little back pat, like, going somewhere, son, you're bothering me. Kind of, you know, fall on leg on him. And Schwartz, I guess he just didn't like that. I don't know. He didn't appreciate it. Schwartz ran up on him, had a few choice words for him. You know, the public relations guy, he looked like Mario. Mario, bro. They got Mario trying to break it up. Looking like the ref from Mike Tyson Punch-Out. You know, he's trying to break it up, trying to get the guys back to the corners or whatever. Then players start coming in, and it just turned into a bit of a fracas. But again, the habitual line stepper, he ain't suspending nobody in this situation. Ain't nobody getting fined. You know, you can ask him for lunch, a coffee spot, you know what I'm saying, a couple hundred, a stack or two. They got to come up off of something. I mean, this is not behavior flattering of the Shield. This is not what the Shield is about, right? So D-Wills. Hit the people off with your take on this, man. Help us understand.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shoot.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I'm here. I thought I lost y'all.
Nah, we here.
I saw this. My notes I put on this is much to do about nothing. It looked like when Schwartz was defending 8 Mile, he thought about, like, you know, it's one of those things where somebody do something and you walk away like, he just punked me. You know that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like that. It could have been a waiter or a waitress or just somebody at the counter or something. You walk away like, did he just punk me? And you're not quite sure if he punked you or not, or she punked you or not, and you want to say something. And because when he did it, he walked and he thought about it. He's like, oh, he just punked me here in Detroit, and he ran up on him. And You know, Harbaugh was excited, but if you look at it, it wasn't that bad. He just kind of slapped him on the back and then, you know, walked away. I think he said something. I think he was, you know, it was like that, yeah, you know, he said something that was, you know, he was excited. And it seemed like it was kind of blown out of proportion when he walked away. And then, but I think it's both these teams trying to have upper hand, trying to have, be competitive. And I think Schwartz is like, I feel like, you know, you're not going to stage me here. I'm building a culture here. I just can't let you do it. I can't let you prance across the thing. I just can't let you do it on my own field. This is our house. And I think as much about it, I love Harbaugh. These are two great coaches that I think are, you know, these organizations chose the right coach who they just don't care what other people think. They're going to try to do it their way. And, you know, that's what great coaches do. So, you know, I think it's blown out of proportion. I don't think it was a big deal. But it did look like Schwartz just kind of hesitated and came back like, yeah, it's like he punked me, so I got to go up here and say something. And I think it just blew out more out of proportion. It's something that we're not going to talk about in a couple weeks. And it's Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh's big thing is he's got to really kind of regulate himself because the NFL is a little bit different in college. Folks will kick you in the leg. They ain't gonna just walk away. They, you know, pro got a different kind of style. Like, I'll see you on the street and get with you. Harbaugh, he'll fight, but he got to watch that a little bit. Some of that stuff he's gonna have to temper a little bit.
Oh man, so basically, your take on the whole situation is that, you know, Schwartz had a. Oh, hell no moment. That's when you stop and you turn around like, oh, hell no. This fool did not just push me on my way. Did he just shoot me?
My own house.
You know, Harbaugh kind of shoot him like, all right, man, good game. Go on somewhere now. Get out of my way.
And he ran up on him, and it didn't look like he was going to really do something. He ran up on you like that little kid, like, that don't really know how to fight, but he just know he got to run up on you. You know, Harbaugh, like, he still looked up like, get off me now, I'm going to hit you one of these R's. And my brother was at the game, and I'm thinking, Steve, don't run up down on that kid. That's his boy. I'm like, don't show up on the screen. I know you there. don't end up on ESPN. On him, but it was one of those things where I just think, yeah, he ran up on him the wrong way, and Harbaugh got that in him now. He'll fight. So it's, but I like that. I like that about these teams. If you're a fan, you got to be happy on both sides. It's like, okay, we out here in it to win it. So I'm looking for both these teams out here to stay, at least this season.
What does that
mean?
Yeah, to stay for this season.
You know what NFL is, right? I ain't giving
the
organization nothing.
Nah, but I'm with you on that. I think Schwartz had to represent for 8 Mile, and he had to represent for the D. And I think if you're Detroit, you like that. You good with that.
Oh yeah.
That's what you want in your coach. I think he earned some respect. He earned some weight in that locker room, and he earned some weight in the D by running up on him like that. Like, nah, son. We it ain't going down like that. You know, that's what you're – nah, son, nah, nah. We ain't going to have that, son. PhD, you a Michigan man. What was your take on the situation?
I got three thoughts. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. First of all, it was much ado about nothing. Second of all, I think fate and irony will have it that these guys will meet in the playoffs again. So we'll have a whole week to talk about this again. Just like Devon said, right when we're about to forget it. The third thing is I think Schwartz, when I saw him running, I'm thinking this is like Van Gundy all over. Hey, man.
Oh man, I love it. All right, let's slide into the next one here. The BCS rankings came out this past week, and you know they gave us a little bit to chew on. What's your take on the BCS rankings right now, fellas? You have a team. Right now, I think there are 10 undefeated teams left. And every year, people make a big deal about the BCS and like, oh, it's gonna. It usually works itself out. As much as I don't like it, it usually works itself out. So, what do we make of this? The first set of BCS rankings right now.
I know. Your first question was you had a sense of like who was too high or too low.
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin's too low. I think they're after those top three teams, I think they're the fourth best team in the country. When you look at their seventh overall rushing, I think they're like third points against.
But I'm gonna have to stop you right there, D. Wills, and I'm gonna have to disagree with you.
Let me get my point out.
Okay, I'm gonna let you finish.
Let me get my point out. When you do the eyeball test and you look at the team, they're better than Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State doesn't have any defense, don't run the ball, don't do a lot of different things. I think it's all window dressing with them. Boise, like that kid, you know, you don't care about which block, which neighborhood they grew up in. You know they tough. But I think Wisconsin's a better team than Boise overall. So that's my thing. Oklahoma State, I think, is entirely too high. I think it's a lot of window dressing. I think that defensively they're not as strong as they need to be. They can pass. They got a great passing game. But I think against some elite teams, they're going to get shut down. So I think Oklahoma State is too high, and I also think Arkansas is overrated. I think, again, they're great passing, don't run the football. For SEC team, their defense is not very strong, not dominant. So those are teams that I think should be in the conversation. Now I want to hear Wisconsin thing.
Now, I agree. I'm going to have to disagree with you. Wisconsin, I think, is right where they need to be right now, at number six. I think it's their own fault they're where they're at. You know, I think anybody would agree, LSU, Alabama, and Oklahoma are pretty much head and shoulders above the field right now. And then when you're looking, you have Oklahoma State and Boise. Boise, I think, will drop. Boise will drop. I think they'll fall back behind Wisconsin. Oklahoma State is ahead of Wisconsin because they've beaten two ranked opponents. They've beaten Texas, and they've beaten Texas A&M.
Yeah, but Texas is not very good. We all know that.
Texas is not very good, but Texas – but somebody may say Nebraska is not very good, and Nebraska is the only ranked opponent that was Badgers have beaten thus far.
But sometimes –
and that's the Badgers' own fault.
But I understand that, and I've argued the schedule. But you do the eyeball test.
They got to quit playing these cupcakes.
I understand that. I'll give you that. I would argue against that. But you do the eyeball test. Oklahoma State's not better than Wisconsin. I've watched them play. They're not better than Wisconsin. Boise, I don't want to anger them and mess up because Boise, one of them teams, again, I'm not going to say anything about them because it doesn't matter who they play. When they get the big game, they show up with big draws on. So Boise kind of, that's one of them kids, I don't even know how to describe it. But Oklahoma State is one of those teams that we always, it's like Missouri back a few years back. Everybody loved Missouri. And I'm like, that's just window dressing. It's all that stuff when it comes down to big.
But it's the BCS, and the BCS ain't about eyeball tests. It's about your schedule, the strength of your schedule.
Oh, but only one third of it's the computer. The other two are human factors.
Right, it's the rankings. And in the AP top 25, but what's hurting Wisconsin is the schedule because in every poll they're top four. In every poll they're ranked number four.
That's why.
What's hurting them is their schedule.
Do the eyeball test. Oklahoma State's that.
No, the eyeball test is helping them. The eyeball test is helping them. If not for the eyeball test, they'd be ranked lower. They're on in the AP, in the coaches, in the ESPN. They are number four. They're behind the only three teams that you can legitimately say are better than them.
Sometimes we all took statistics. Numbers lie.
I think the computer got it right because it's the schedule.
Yes, I would play with it. You
asked
me.
It's the schedule, D.
You asked me if I said a team is too high. The argument, then we should even argue if a team's too high if we said the computer's right.
No, I'm saying in Wisconsin's case the computer's right.
I'm saying
they're at number six.
Let me make my argument this way. Oklahoma State's overrated. I say they're too high. If I want to make the Wisconsin argument, I'll say Oklahoma State is too high. Oklahoma State is like Missouri a few years ago.
But the reason Oklahoma State is above Wisconsin is because of their schedule and who they played. And Wisconsin ain't beat nobody yet.
I already have my argument against the Big 12 in the rank bias. I can tell you that. I already got that. So that fits into those preseason rankings. Right? They ought to come in somewhere. How do you determine strength of schedule? It's all determined by – somehow human beings are determined strength of schedule. Right?
Right.
So at some point
– But not necessarily. It's about who the teams have beat.
My argument with Oklahoma State is – I'll let it go. I'm going to say this team, they could prove me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, this team, I've seen this movie play out before. I've seen it play out before. In Smoke and Mirrors, I've seen the movies play out before. And when they play against, that's going to be really shown when they play Oklahoma. And everybody's going to be like, what are you talking about? When they play Oklahoma, I would actually that Kansas State game before they play Oklahoma. They're going to be exposed.
And you know what they might be, but this is my point, is that Wisconsin has to get over this whole we don't want to play nobody in the non-conference. And if they miss out, if this is a national championship caliber team that they have here in Madison. This is a national championship caliber team. The eyeball test, yes. The eyeball test, they passed the eyeball test with flying colors. I agree with you on that. My thing is that these kids are going to miss an opportunity to play for a national championship because the athletic department ain't got the guts to schedule some real games in the non-conference schedule. And when you're going up against the SEC and you got an undefeated, particularly undefeated Big 12 team, you know the SEC is going to get one championship slot. And so you have to do your own work. And Wisconsin is not – by scheduling the teams that they've scheduled, and I know schedules get done years in advance, but they got to turn this around if they plan on competing with the big boys. And to me, this is the problem with athletics in Wisconsin is that they're content with being in the mix in both basketball and football. They're content with being in the mix, but they're not really taking that next step and becoming elite and becoming a flagship program. They're a good program. But when Wisconsin is good in the Big Ten in basketball and football, the pundits always say the Big Ten must be down. Wisconsin's at the top. Every time. Every time Wisconsin's at the top of the Big Ten must be down because they don't view Wisconsin as an elite-level program because they haven't gotten to that level because they haven't played in those games. And their schedule is going to prevent them from doing that again because in the end, whether Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, whoever wins that game is going to have the upper hand on Wisconsin because they just beat another top-five team. Wisconsin's not going to face another top-five team for the rest of the season.
I will say this: the rankings, the impact. This will be the last season, I believe, that the Big Ten won't start playing a role in terms of preseason rankings. Big Ten is about to go back to where they were in terms of that fit in those rankings, the way they used to populate the rankings, probably like 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. I think they're going back to that. So that part will, in terms of strength of schedule, is going to get better. But there's nothing about the Big 12. See, this is the thing. Your SEC argument is good. But there's nothing about the Big 12 that makes me think they're that much better in terms of how people have defined them and strength of schedule. Only then Oklahoma and Texas over time. But the rest of the Big 12 teams, there's nothing in there that told me. Texas Tech was a sexy kind of pick because it is. Missouri was sexy kind of pick. But there wasn't nothing dominating about some of those other teams.
No, you're right. The Big 12 is just like the Big 10.
Yeah, and yet they're benefiting from something. What makes Texas A&M any better than Nebraska? What makes Texas A&M any better than Michigan State? I mean, that's the part of it. Because somehow human stuff is coming into this. It's factoring this. I don't know what Oklahoma State's preseason or out of conference schedule was. It may have been great. I'll look that up. I'll let some other voices jump in on here because I know I'm dominating.
Honestly, I'm just enjoying you gentlemen go back and forth.
And the thing about it, we both spent time in Madison, so this is crazy, but that's all right.
So there are two other teams that I think are ranked too low, and I will stay away from Oklahoma, and I will stay away from Wisconsin, Oklahoma State. So the two teams that I think are too low is Stanford and Clemson. And the reason I think Stanford's too low is because they're pretty much returning the same team without Harbaugh. And this is a team that finished either third or fourth last year. Okay, so I'm kind of curious why they're so low. And so far this year, they've looked just as dominant as Boise State. They look just as dominant as Wisconsin, I would argue. And then the other team is Clemson. Clemson right now is either seventh or eighth. Well, actually, Stanford's eighth in BCS and Clemson's seventh. Clemson's already beaten three ranked teams. They beat Florida State when Florida State was a top 10 team. They beat Auburn, and they beat Virginia Tech when Virginia Tech was in the top 12. And they beat all these teams fairly handily with the exception of one of these games. I think Clemson's got the speed. They've got the size, their defense. If you want to rank these two schools from the SEC, LSU, Alabama, I tell you what, you're going to have a hard time ranking Clemson's defense, you know, any lower than third or fourth in the country right now. You know, if you look at the overall talent and NFL products, prospects that they have. So those are the two teams that I see are too low. And, you know, whenever you talk about teams should be higher, you got to talk about who shouldn't be there. And so I'm going to say Boise and I'm going to say Wisconsin. You know, I think Clemson and Stanford should be in the top five or six. And I do like Oklahoma State better than Wisconsin because they've beaten Texas A&M and Texas, one of those teams on the road. So.
And see, this is a beautiful conversation right now because it gets back to the whole deal with college football. College football is not about fairness. It's not about fairness at all. It's not about fair. It's not about what makes sense. It's about brand. It's about name. And with the Big 12, the Big 12 is like the Big 10. When Ohio State is good, when Michigan is good, they're going to get a shot. And so as long as Oklahoma and Texas are competitive and good, the Big 12 is going to get the leg up as far as how it's viewed. People don't take that comprehensive view at the whole conference. They look at the upper echelon, and then they say, okay, Oklahoma State's in the Big 12 with Texas and Oklahoma, and they're doing great, so they're obviously a good team. It's the same thing with Wisconsin. If Ohio State was good this year and if Michigan was at an elite level, Wisconsin would be ranked higher. Because of the cachet that the conference would carry overall and the overall perception of the conference. Because the overall perception of the conference isn't good and they didn't play anybody in the non-conference, people looking at Wisconsin is a little sideways. People aren't buying into Wisconsin yet. And that's what's hurting them. And that's college football, though. The same thing with Clemson. What's hurting Clemson is the fact that Florida State fell out the rankings. What's hurting Clemson is the fact that the ACC the U ain't good. Miami's not good. So if Clemson's at the top of the ACC, must be a down year. That's how voters view it.
But one of their dominant teams, one of the good solid team in the Big 12 moves to the Big 10, gets beat by down there 40. I mean, Nebraska, if it were in the Big 12 this year, would have all that hype, right? They moved to the Big 10, played Wisconsin earlier. They just get beat, but got beat down.
Absolutely. But it's not about what makes sense, D. It's not we're talking about college football.
I understand. I'm with you on that. But I'm saying Oklahoma State, I've seen this movie before. Doesn't end well. For you Cowboy fans out there, don't end well. Seen this movie before. Seen it in the Big 12 before. Doesn't end well. So I think you're right. It's not fair. And I think people just don't watch the film. Doesn't end well. I look at Oklahoma is in a class by itself, no matter where you put them. But Oklahoma State doesn't end well at all.
And so I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Because they're not built on good bones. You can see it. Statistically, you can follow it, and you can see it. So it's one of those things where you're right. It's not about making sense, you know. What I'm hoping is we have a lot of teams end up undefeated, and then we can have this discussion. And I'm hoping that Stanford and in some ways it's okay that Stanford and Wisconsin maybe ends up on the outside looking in, because that's going to push the two biggest kind of detractors from looking at a tournament to start considering it. It's the Pac-10 and the Big Ten. So, you know, maybe that's going to drive this conversation in the right direction. So I'm hoping for as many people to end up undefeated as possible.
Hey, and you know what? I'm always hoping for that, too, because I hate the BCS and I just like it. But it always works itself out. These college kids, somebody always going to slip up. Somebody always going to have that weekend where they party too hard or they're not paying attention, they're looking ahead. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, when we get to the pick six, I got LSU versus Auburn as one of the games, because I wouldn't be surprised if LSU loses because they're looking ahead to the Alabama game, because that's what 20 and 21-year-olds do.
That's what they do. Yes, they do.
You know, and that, so we'll revisit that. You know, that's a good conversation, and we'll check it out. We'll touch base with that one again. Now we got the Big East talking about expanding. This is the last. What's up?
Can't wait.
What'd you say?
He said can't wait.
I got you.
They have our back, Keyshawn.
The way to have our back, Keyshawn. right. So we got the Big East talk about expansion. Now, I've heard Boise State's name brought up. I've heard Memphis. I've heard their name be around. Right now, the Big East is scrambling to try and keep their bid, their automatic qualifying bid for a BCS game. And they really, really, unfortunately, don't have a lot of options of anything that makes sense, in my opinion. You know, they've talked about, they've sent conditional invitations to Houston, SMU, Central Florida, Air Force, and Boise State for football only. So,
I think Navy in that one as well.
I don't see Navy in this particular story, which is from today. They don't have Navy mentioned in this particular story. I do remember seeing that Navy was involved as well with the Air Force. There were two service academies that they had offered to, but in here it doesn't say that they sent anything solid. So that may have been speculation. But you know, they're trying to break into the Texas market because they're losing TCU. If I'm Boise State, I just go. I give the Big 12 a call. If I'm Boise State, because that just seems to make sense to me. Like, make that happen already. Boise State needs the cachet. The Big 12, honestly, to me, the Big 12 may come out better picking up TCU and Boise State.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm the Big 12, I make that happen. You know, to hell with it. Mizzou. Sorry, Filthy. I know you're down there in Mizzou in Tiger Country. But if Mizzou want to go be a doormat in the SEC, he'll be a doormat in the SEC. You know what I mean? Make that happen if that's really what they want. Because I don't see them winning in football nor basketball in that conference. So, yeah, I mean, you go from being an also-ran to an afterthought. But SMU, you know, again, Texas, they can lay down some roots in Texas. And that's, I think the Big East is looking at it that way as, you know, how can we further our reach nationally as a conference, which is why they're offering Boise and Air Force, which are both West Coast schools, which is why they're looking at Central Florida and Houston and Southern Methodist to break into Florida and Texas, into those recruiting grounds. But ultimately, the Big East is on life support, in my opinion, as far as a football conference. As far as being a competitive football conference, the Big East is on life support. How do you fellas think they can survive?
I mean, in basketball, they're going to do well. Football, I don't know how. I mean, these aren't great options.
Yeah, once you get to talking about East Carolina and schools like that to help save your conference, yeah, you in trouble. You in big trouble.
Yeah. I don't know how they can stay relevant. I mean, I think that's just I thought about some combinations. I just can't see it. I mean, I think Boise brings something to them if they can do it. And I know we're not worried about geography now, but I agree with you. For Boise, if they're going to look to jump to a big conference, the Big 12 would probably be the best conference. They didn't jump to the Pac-10, not a Pac-12. I just don't see any other openings that would be a splash. I mean, other than if you were Notre Dame thinking about joining the conference that you knew you could just dominate for a while, you know, this might be the time to look at the Big East. You got everything else in the Big East. You know, if you could come in and kind of leverage a deal around your money, you know, beat Texas or the Big East, you know, they might be interested in giving you what you want. I mean, that could be, I mean, they don't have any incentive right now, but if Notre Dame felt that, I know they want to be part of the Big Ten, I think that might, but I think if they want to find a place to have a soft landing where they can dominate and, you know, have at least a rivalry with like, you know, West Virginia and do some other things and maintain some of the other stuff, I mean, that's a reach, but if you could sell a soft landing to them, this might not be a bad setup. I think that's the kind of conference Notre Dame is probably looking for, not something where they don't have a chance to be in the BCS conversation.
BAZ, what's your take, man?
You know, I got a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, you know, I liken it to, you know, I'm in a fantasy football league with you all. We got 14 teams, but we only have like 7 roster spots. So the free agent pool is pretty rich out there. I'm in another league where we have 12 teams, but we have 20 roster spots, including defensive players. Well, I think it's like 17 or 18. But the point is, you know, I look at the Big East right now like our fantasy free agent pool. There's just not a lot out there right now. There's not a lot out there in terms of quality folks that you can pick up to bolster your league to still merit a BCS bid, an automatic BCS bid. You know, at this point, I think they're bringing a knife to a gunfight, quite honestly. I mean, they don't have a lot to work with. And unfortunately, you know, Devon, you brought up some solid ideas. You know, Marcus, you did too. But at the end of the day, I think the leadership of the conference, they're coming up with these similar ideas, and they're still kind of like, you know, I mean, it's just not as, I mean, you know, it's not really improving our profile. I think the one team out there, in addition to Notre Dame, that could possibly help is BYU. But BYU is in a really good situation where they have their own network, you know, with a link to the Mormon faith. You know, they have a national recruiting base. And I think they need the Big East a lot less than the Big East needs them. And quite honestly, the Big 12, if they were going to go to another league or, you know, go from being independent, the Big 12 would probably make more sense at this point. University of Central Florida, they were just in the MAC a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, it's just there's not a lot of good options out there.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good options.
BYU. I like your BYU.
One team I think would be a good fit is Memphis. I think as a football school, I think I think you do what you did with UConn, with Memphis. I think you get Memphis, you grow that program, you get them to commit to growing their football program more. Their basketball program fits with your profile as a basketball conference, and for that basketball program at Memphis, that'd be a major get for them to get out of Conference USA and to get in the Big East. Because that raises the profile of an already high-profile basketball program, which was only hurt by that conference. So that would help in that sense. And then you take the football program, just like they did with UConn, and you allow them to grow it. And you give them a couple years. They put some more money into it, get the facilities up and in order. And that's a school that I think on both sides of the coin, when you're looking at basketball and football for the Big East, because I think that's something that the Big East has to consider, because they do have the reputation, they did have the reputation as the number one basketball conference. We'll see what they look like in the end. But that would then help them. Now, it doesn't help them from that monetary standpoint of getting into that fertile ground of Texas and Florida like they want to and expand in that way. But it makes a little bit more sense geographically. It fits a little bit more with their profile. And then if I'm them, I talk to some of my basketball schools, like a Villanova that has whatever they call it, 1AA program. I'm just going to use the old term, the 1AA, because I don't know what they call it now. But a 1AA program, and maybe even a Georgetown with a 1AA program, and say, hey, what are the prospects of you guys getting your 1AA programs up and running to a D1 level within the next 4 to 5 years? And again, do what you did with UConn. UConn was 1AA for a long time. They came up. They invested in the program, they put money into the program, and they grew it. And maybe, to me, that's the model that I would use to maintain some sort of integrity. Now, I know that's not the quick fix, and that's not going to get the money rolling in the way they want it to, but that's what I would do.
I think that's a good plan. I think because they have at least college basketball holding you know, them in at least a national conversation around something, that might not be a bad play for them over the long haul to try and build it. I mean, I think they have to look at that. Now, they might risk in doing that dropping out, you know, as a BCS qualifier initially, but if they knew over time that they would get back, and those other folks that have a commitment to being Big East teams because they helped to
you know, to kind of get that thing going. So I think that that could be, but they might risk, again, you know, that automatic bid.
Right.
But if they're okay with that, sometimes that's the route you got to go.
Because to me, what they'll do by bringing in an East Carolina or Central Florida is ultimately they'll weaken their standing in both sports, in basketball and football. I don't think Central Florida necessarily helps you in football. I don't think East Carolina necessarily helps you keep your BCS bid. I don't think they'll be able to talk an Air Force. You know, again, if I'm the Big 12, I talk to Air Force. They're right there in Colorado. You know, some of these schools that they're targeting, if I'm the Big 12, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you're closer to us. Why don't you, if you're looking to move, you know, why don't you come over here? It's just one street over, you know, instead of moving all the way across town. I talked to Boise State. I talked to, you know, Air Force. I talked to BYU. And the pickings are just so slim for the Big East that I think they would be better off looking at who they are as a conference, how can they stay good at what they're doing, but then grow themselves so eventually they can get back to being a because they've never been a good football conference. They've never been a good football conference. Even when they had Pitt and Syracuse, they still weren't a top-notch football conference. What gave the Big East cachet was they were an elite-level basketball conference. Now they're not even that. I mean, they're still a very good basketball conference, but if you add in the Central Florida and East Carolina and some of the schools that they're considering, like Houston and the SMU, and that to me cheapens what they were as a basketball conference. I know basketball isn't the revenue generator that football is, but at the same time, we were just having this conversation. We were talking about the BCS rankings. It's about perception. And if you're elite at something, that keeps you in the conversation. If you become mediocre at everything, then nobody's thinking about you at all.
And I think that, you know, they certainly would have a chance at a place like Navy because, you know, I think Navy is waiting to see where they fall in terms of stability. And so they might have a chance at Navy, you know, kind of falling there, giving them somewhat something in their football, pursuits. But, yeah, I think they're going to have to rebuild it and wait for some of these things to shake out, you know, because, you know, what's going to happen – some of these folks, you know, on paper, these 16 teams, 14 teams, that stuff sound nice until you never see a championship game. And everybody's going to be like, you know, looking for that next run. So I think the Big East also needs to be patient because, you know, 3 or 4 years, 5 years into the deal, some of these folks are going to be saying, oh, we made a mistake.
Right.
And Missouri in a position to recover with some of those folks. So, you know, sometimes you got to lay in the cut.
That's right.
But it'll come back to you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Devon. I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's 3 o'clock and the club's closing up. You're just trying to. I mean, you're trying to grab somebody. You know, and your standards are just getting lower and lower. It's like no, just. Just hold on back, man. It's cool. Go back home alone. You know, I think that's what the Big East needs to do at this point. Just hold back. Deal with the repercussions. You're going to get clowned, whatever it is. Deal with it and reload when it's the right time.
You say, East Carolina, come over here and stand in this light right here. You look a little bit better. Yeah, we can wait this out. You look good in this light. Nah, that's still East Carolina, dog. I don't care what you talk about.
You know, I mean, and I like the idea of developing your FCS schools or the old, one-double-A, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But, my nephew, he plays for Yale right now. They just beat Georgetown by 30 points 2 weeks ago. You got a long way to go to build up that Georgetown program, a long way to go.
And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's about putting the money in. You know, if you start to put the money into facilities and you start to put the money into, you know, into scholarships and getting guys in and the resources to recruit, Georgetown as a brand, the name still rings out because of basketball. So you can go into a neighborhood and say, hey, we're building, you know, they can recruit D.C., they can recruit some in Florida, you know, they can recruit along the Eastern Seaboard and say, hey, this is, you know, academically is one of the best schools. You can go in and you can grow that. You know, you can grow a Villanova because from the basketball program, the name rings out. Kids hear Villanova, that means something because they make a connection with basketball. And then you go from there and you build it and you grow it. But, yeah, it's not going to start out pretty because you still got what you got,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Might have to get that sweater guy that just left coaching. Sometimes you find a way to find somebody who's sitting out there to help build it.
Right.
You know, some of that can accelerate, some of this transition.
Yeah.
The sweater guy.
the guy in the sweater vest. You over there in the sweater vest. Come here, please. all
right.
We're going to slide into the pick six for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, we checked in. D. Wills was leading us at 20-10. Phil T. and Ray were checking in both at 18-12, and I was bringing up the rear at 16-14. So for last week's games, we had on the docket. Let me pull up my information here.
Just curious, did anybody else pick the Lions to lose last week? I mean, just curious.
I think that was just you, but I think you were also one of the only people to pick Michigan to win. So you get some and you give some, partner.
All right.
So here we go. We had San Francisco at Detroit. Again, I think we all went Detroit. Phil T went San Francisco. So he got a win there. Everybody else taking losses. The next game was Houston at Baltimore. I can't remember who I took. I hope I took Baltimore. Let me see. Where is it at?
Don't be messing up my account now. I got the lead on this one.
I got you and Ray. I'm trying to look up mine real quick. I got to make sure mine is in here. So yeah, I had Baltimore. I think everybody went Baltimore on that one. So everybody went Baltimore there. Then we got the Giants versus Buffalo, and I went Buffalo. So I'll take my loss there. Phil T, I can't remember who you had, and I can't find yours.
What two teams are playing?
Buffalo and New York.
I went with New York, I think, but I don't remember.
Okay.
We got to get that one right. Oh, no, y'all messing with Buff.
I can't find his email. Usually he sent them to me in an email, and I can't find his email.
I know. I'm about to pull this up.
I think I took Baltimore.
Watch Phil. I told him he was coming back to the pack.
So I know I took Buffalo, and I'll carry that water. So I got those two losses. I got one win. Devon's got two wins, one loss. Phil T goes 3-0 in the NFL count, but different story in the football count. Here we go. We got Phil T. We got Michigan at Michigan State. Phil T took Big Blue. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for him. I took Michigan State. D. Wills took Michigan. So that didn't work out for you and either partner. So you had 2-2, and then Ray took Michigan State with me. So I'm at 2-2. Ray is at 3-1, and D. Wills is at 2-2, and Phil is at 3-1. Then we had the Baylor A&M game. Me and D. Will took Baylor. Ray and Devon took A&M. So they holding that down. Ray is at – Ray got 4 wins. Devon's got 3 wins. I got 3 losses. Yay for me. And then we all took the Ducks, and they won. So everybody gets a win. So I break it 500. Filthy goes 4-2. Ray goes 5-1. And D-Wheels goes 4-2. So for this week, Ray is at 23-13. Devon is at 24-12. So he's got a game up on Ray. Phil T is at 22-14. And I'm at 19-17. All right. So for this week, for the pick six, we got Atlanta at Detroit, Chicago at Tampa, San Diego at New York Jets for our NFL games. Detroit coming off the whole Jim Schwartz situation. Atlanta's coming into town trying to pick up a victory. And I'm going with ATL in this one. I'm going with Atlanta in this one. I think they're going to seek out a victory and pull this one out. D-Wills, who you taking?
It's the copycat league. So I'm going to go with the I'm going to go with Detroit, man.
All right. And Phil T, who you taking?
You know, I'm going to go with Detroit. I mean, the last 2 weeks between the Bears and the 49ers, that Ford Field crowd has produced, 16, 17 false start penalties. I think they're just warming up. I think Detroit's going to be very difficult to be at home for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Detroit.
Okay. And you taking Detroit, D. Wills?
Yeah, I got Detroit.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure I get the picks right. So you two are Detroit. I'm taking ATL. I think the Dirty Bird's going to show up and take them down. And I think it's going to be good check time for the Honolulu Blue Crew. All right. So next game we got on tap, we got Chicago at Tampa Bay. And I call this one the Bipolar Bowl because you just don't know what you're going to get with these two teams. 1 week, you know, you got Tampa beating New Orleans, Chicago looks great against Minnesota. But in the same sense, both teams the week before look like dog doo-doo. So who's going to take this one? I'm taking Tampa at home. I think it'll be a close game, but I think the young boy Freeman is going to have another one of his fourth quarter comebacks and going to lead the Bucs on through. Phil T, who you taking?
Taking Tampa Bay as well at home.
All right. D. Wills.
In a bipolar, when you don't know, you go with the home team, Tampa Bay.
All right. Next game, San Diego at New York. The J-E-T-S, Jets coming off a Monday night win. Not an impressive win. San Diego's traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, which is always trouble. Who are you taking in this one, Phil T?
Taking the Jets in a close one, a real close one.
All right. D. Wills, who are you taking?
I'm taking San Diego. This is when they start to rev up, and the Jets' offense just doesn't look good. Nothing they're showing me that tells me they're doing good offense, so I'm going to San Diego.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets. I think this is where San Diego starts to little low. They go into one every season. I think they're about due. East Coast trip, I think, is just what they need to start it. So that's where I'm going. Now into our college football game.
You going with San Diego or you going with
I'm going with the Jets. I'm going with the Jets to get San Diego. I think San Diego is going to start to kind of tail off for a little bit here. We got Wisconsin for our college football games. First game is Wisconsin at Michigan State. Wisconsin's got to win this game against a ranked opponent. D. Wills, who you taking?
I think these polls that came out was really what Brett needed. and someone Wisconsin going in there with Sparty getting a victory. You know, last time they went there, they struggled, so I think they're trying to go and get them one.
All right. I'm also going Wisconsin. I can't really I believe in this team. Again, like, for me, the only thing that's going to hold this squad back is their schedule. And I think that's what the BCS rankings bear out. TLT, who you taking?
You know, I really like Wisconsin this year, and I mean, it was really tough for me to make this pick, but I'm going to stick with Wisconsin on the road. I think Michigan State plays them really tough. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes down to the last possession, perhaps even overtime. I mean, I think these teams are pretty well matched. But at the end of the day, I think Wisconsin is the better team.
All right. So now to our last game. We're going to switch it up this week. Usually we go three pro games, three college games. But we're going to throw in game one of the World Series. Texas at St. Louis. So what? Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot the Auburn game. My bad. So we got Auburn, LSU. And in this one, I'm taking LSU. I think it's going to be a barn burner. I think it's going to be an extremely close game. But I got LSU pulling it out. Phil T, who you taking?
I'm going with the Tigers as well. I like LSU in a fairly close game for the first couple of quarters, but I think they pull away late.
All right. D. Wills.
I think this is a tough place to win. I'm going with LSU. I just think their defense is just suffocating.
Yeah, I think LSU will have a little bit of trouble just because they may get caught looking ahead to the big Alabama game, 1-2. In a couple of weeks, but I still think they pull it together with enough time left to take care of Auburn and send them home with a loss.
Auburn, they're starting a new quarterback, too. They're going away from Trotter, who only completed like 7 or 8 passes in the past 2 weeks, so they're going with another guy.
Yeah, well, good luck with that against that defense. That's almost a pro defense that they're going to be going up against. So then we got the World Series game. Game one of the World Series, Texas at St. Louis. Who are you taking, D. Wills?
I'm going to go with St. Louis.
All right. Phil T., who are you taking?
You know, every prediction I've made so far this postseason has been wrong, wrong, and then another wrong. But I'm going to roll with St. Louis.
But before you do, just go ahead and say it.
I don't have facts to back this up.
That's right. I don't have facts. That's right. But, you know, I got to tell you, I like Carpenter, man. Carpenter's just been a big-time clutch performer this postseason and leading up to the postseason. So I like Carpenter over C.J. Wilson in game one.
All right, and I'm taking Texas. I think Texas is going to come out swinging. The Sluggers is going to do what Sluggers do. And, you know, usually when it comes to baseball, I'll go ahead and admit it.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So I'm just going with Texas. Because partly because St. Louis beat the Brewers, and I'm mad. You know,
I want winners.
All right, let's keep it going. We're about to get into the segment we like to call the dog of the week, where we pick players or teams who perform like true dogs.
Cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
All right, so I'm going to have my man, PhD, kick it off this week. Go ahead, man.
We need more dogs.
I got two of them. First one. I'm going to give it up to the Michigan State seniors, football team. They're becoming the first class perhaps ever, if not ever, first in a really, really long time, to beat the Michigan Wolverines 4 straight years. I mean, it just hurts me even saying that. The second dog I've got is Mr. Brown from Cincinnati. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. You got up off this whole grudge thing. You made a deal that's going to better your franchise. You know, you had this dusty piece of art up in your attic. You didn't want to let it go. And finally, somebody made you a, you know, like Ray said, a king's ransom for it, and you gave it up. So welcome to the 21st century, Mr. Brown.
All right, D. Wills.
We need more dogs.
I'm going to say Mr. Watkins for Clemson. He had, what, like 300-and-something yards all-purpose. This guy is lighting it up every week, keeping Clemson in games, performing, you know, in games where Clemson would normally, you know, lose, you know, some of these games. It's like that Clemson loss. He's holding it together.
All right, all right, and that means it's my turn.
We need more dogs.
So I'm going with the young man from Alabama, Trent Richardson. Two reasons. One is that phenomenal 76-yard run he had. You know, this is one of those runs I was watching. I was like, yeah, this is, I mean, it's a good run. It doesn't mean anything different. And then he put that move. Have you guys seen this run?
Yeah. It was nice.
21 from Ole Miss. I'm sorry. That's all I can say. I have to apologize to Trent Richardson. It was one of those moves. It was like Barry turning around Otis Smith back in the day. When he had Otis Smith, you know, just turning around, just going in circles. I'm surprised the young man didn't pop an ACL or something the way that his legs gave out when Richardson put this move on him. But on top of doing that and that excellent move that he put on this kid, Trent Richardson balled, moved himself into the Heisman conversation. I really like him as a running back. I think he has a ton of pro potential. I think he should be, depending upon who's picking up that high, I think he should be a top 10 pick. I know running backs usually don't go that high anymore, but I think he's that good. And he's built to carry the ball 25-plus times a game. I've never seen this kid. He's the real deal. So there we go. Those are our dogs of the week. Now we're going to transition into a segment we like to call Dope Lines, where we finish off the show. Anybody got a dope line this week?
We don't have one.
I got one.
Got one?
I got one. I'm going to pull out some old J.O. felony. And it's in reference to the Bengals and Raiders trade. You know, the Bengals finally make a move that seems like it's a legitimate move and it's a move that's going to help their franchise. But, again, I have to quote J.O. Felony and saying, I can give it to you, but what you going to do with it? They got the 2 first-round picks, but they still are Bengals. All right? They're going to take 2 cats that's going to be out of the league in 5 years. By the time their rookie deal's up, them cats going to be gone. So, that's my dope line for the week.
I can give it to you, but what you gonna do with it?
So this has been a Real Sports Guy, Real Guys Talk, Real Sports, Renegade Radio, RSG, Internet Corner Boys, holding you down Tuesday night, 8:30 to 10:30. Check y'all next week, same time, same place. We off. I mean, we still on, but we off.
All right.
Ooh, that Herman Cain, boy. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man, yeah, man. I heard that, man. I was like, man, what are you talking about, man?
Hello? You play to win the game.
Oh, man. Then, my man, Herman.
I was having a good time. I was really enjoying hearing you guys going back and forth about Oklahoma City or Oklahoma State and Wisconsin, man. I was having a good time. I was back in the listener days.
Man,
that was a BSU Lounge conversation right there.
Because Oklahoma State, you always got that one fool's gold pick. Now, look at that, and I'm going, that's the fool's gold pick. And you're right, it's about brand, it's about all that stuff. And I agree with that. But, I mean, I look at that, I'm like, I've seen this movie before.
No, I agree with you. I don't think very much of Oklahoma State. I just think Wisconsin shot themselves in the foot. Just not having a strong schedule. And, again, I get that those things are taken care of years in advance, and it's not something that, you know, they could have necessarily dealt with this year. But if they have to learn from that, if they want to be on that level, and they plan on being that level.
But look at that Oregon State. But look at the Oregon State team. When Jaquez went to the pros, think of him on that team coming in and playing that Oregon State team, given – I mean, when you plan it out, you have a young man like that who has the ability to go to pros. What does that team look like? You beat that Oregon State team, and what does that look like, you know, in terms of how we're judging these things? So I think all those factors, I've always said that they need to do a little stronger out of conference kind of game plan. But Boise State, I mean, they don't have a very strong – Boise is on Boise.
Oh, absolutely, and then Boise's not gonna get in the game though.
Yeah, but
and we know that
they're pretty good. Other than the Georgia victory, I mean, what else do they have?
Right, and we know, but what I'm saying is, I know Boise don't belong in the championship game. I know that. What I'm saying is that the Wisconsin team is capable of playing in the championship game, and they're in a big time conference, and they won't play in it because their non conference schedule was soft. That's what I'm saying.
But look at Boise's non conference and in conference schedule up to this point. Who have they played that makes their schedule look better than Wisconsin?
They got the Georgia game. They played the SEC team. That's about all I can think of. That's really all I can give them. That's really all I can give them.
Terrible. But Georgia's terrible. And we all know Georgia's terrible. Georgia knows they're terrible. Only thing they say to Georgia is the fact that the old ball coach kicked his quarterback off the team, and then the running back got hurt. That's the only thing that's going to save that coach's job. So I'm saying even on your argument, what's Boise's argument?
I don't think Boise's going to hang around. I mean, they're there for the moment.
What makes Georgia better than Nebraska? I wouldn't say that.
But it's about perception. Georgia plays in the SEC.
That's what I'm talking about. So it's all fake in the end. And this is killing me about this SEC kind of thing. They've been getting away with that kind of scheduling for years.
But that's because then they go into a conference where the perception is it's loaded.
Bad stuff has been built. But part of it is you're not really battling even out of conference. So it's one of the things. Other than LSU, I would say LSU has been scheduling. There's a couple teams that have scheduled historically.
Mm-hmm.
Outside Alabama, LSU, there's a couple teams that have done their thing, but some of the other teams. But you know, I'm pushing on it. I want to see Bucky. I wish we had another team to rise on it, but I think this is the last year that the Big Ten won't be in the conversation. I feel like they're moving in that direction.
Well, I hope so, because I think it's a travesty that you have a team in the Big Ten can go undefeated and miss out on a national championship game.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to wind up happening.
Yeah.
And it's going to be unfortunate.
Which might be the best thing to happen to kind of push this, you know. Because right now I can tell you the 18s possibly that should be in the playoff. You know, which it might be good at Stanford. You know, that probably won't happen because they're probably end up playing each other. But that Stanford and Wisconsin goes undefeated. That's probably good because those are the two leagues that have to join this conversation.
Right.
And they've been reluctant. So I think that's going to push us a little bit. So I'm hoping that they run the table. But yeah, this one. I mean, I can't stand the Big 12. The Big 12 been smoking mirrors for years.
Yeah.
In my mind, you know, there's been a bunch of football versions of Phoenix Suns. Look all good in the regular season, but when they get into these bowl games, they get waxed. And they just get a bunch of, other than Oklahoma in Texas when they were good. What?
I just noticed that Oklahoma is third in the AP poll, but first in the USA Today poll.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's one of them standalone. No matter what, you just don't know if you should bet against them.
Yeah.
They got something.
Yeah, and like I said, like Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, they're kind of on another level right now. I think Wisconsin can play with them. If they play five times, Wisconsin could probably get them twice.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But I think Wisconsin's going to be left out in the cold unless one of those teams slips up. You know one of the SEC teams is going to lose because they have to play each other. But in the end, a one-loss SEC team is probably still going to get in, especially if their only loss is against, you know, whichever one of those teams loses that game or wins that or loses that game, if their only loss is against the other team and the other team happens to slip up somewhere, whoever wins that game is going to get in.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting is BYU. You know, I spoke about this earlier. I mean, they have this national presence that Notre Dame used to have, and you know, based on the faith and you know, and the association of the school. But I'm looking on Yahoo here, and Yahoo, they have the AP poll, the BCS poll, and the USA Today poll. And then they have a compilation of what all the Yahoo user rankings, users have ranked them. And, you know, in general, the Yahoo users, you know, like myself, we got it pretty much right. Got LSU first, Oklahoma two. You know, BYU is not in the top 25 in any of the polls, but the user rankers rankings have them at 7th right now.
What the hell?
I mean, I think that just speaks to that they have a brand out there, and I'm not sure if a lot of people really recognize how strong of a brand that they have.
Mm.
You know, Trevor Maddox, the guy that's the studio guy for College Sports now at ESPN, he went to BYU, and I remember talking hearing him talk last year. He said, you know, I mean, if you're a Mormon kid growing up, you know, BYU is going to get a look regardless. They're going to get, like, they're going to be in your top five. You're a top kid in the country, they're going to be in your top five, whether you're in New York, Florida, BYU is going to get an opportunity. And I tell you what, the Big 12 will be good to pick up these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, the Big 12 has a better situation as far as plucking teams from regionally strong football areas that fit with their regional profile than the Big East. The East Coast is not really – once you go north of North Carolina, the East Coast is not really football territory. That's mostly basketball territory up that way. When you start to get into the tri-state area and you're looking at D.C., to Philly, to New York, to Boston, up in that area, that's hoops area. And college football isn't big in those areas. But when you're looking at the mountain areas, and, you know, the mountain time region and the Midwest and the Southwest, you know, BYU, TCU, Boise, I get them in as quick as possible and maybe pick up another Texas school, maybe a SMU or Rice or Houston or somebody like that to keep Texas strong in the conference. And boom, the Big 12 is back on the map. I think the Big East has to be more creative as to how they're going to put things together because they don't have that luxury of just going around and seeing who's out there and plucking up. There ain't a bunch of good teams laying in wait out there.
Yeah.
And there ain't really no other conferences they could steal from out that way either. That's the other thing is that, you know, the Big 12 has the Mountain West and places like that. But the WAC in conferences like that that they can kind of pluck, cherry pick guys from. The Big East doesn't have that luxury. So.
Hey, did y'all see that story? I didn't get any chance to hear it. It's on, they said it's about Steve Young. I didn't even check that out. Was he got caught on his BlackBerry last night?
Yeah, I heard about it. I saw the picture. He was on set, right?
Yeah, on
like,
set.
Night football.
Yeah. So they,
that's funny.
They kill you these days. Well, you can't get away with nothing. Just
right.
Can't get away with nothing on any of this stuff.
Hey,
I guess you might have a couple of more drops, man. It looks like this GOP debate got heated. Yeah, where your boy, it looks like Romney put his shoulder on hand on the governor. He was just like, "Let me finish." He had a testy moment in debate. We might have a drop we can pull up.
Was the one tonight?
Yeah, looked like it looked like Romney was putting his oh my goodness up here. I'm trying to see if I can hear it come up. Man, this stuff is they got more little ads coming up. Looks like they had they're talking about immigration and he's trying to finish his point. And they said that Romney put his hand on Rick Perry's shoulder. They said about to get heated here. So you might have a drop that we could use. Here goes. Here goes right here. Uh-oh. There goes my I got to get a different system. But yeah, so you might have a drop here.
I'm going to check it out.
You have to check it out. So you might have a drop here for this one because they look like they had a heated exchange. We probably going to get about 9 or 10 drops off this. Off this.
I'm looking forward to finding your facts on that because that is the rules work here, you put it much like the draw be illegal to the state, which is giving $100,000 of tuition credit. It would be illegal to come to the
We could work that out.
You're like, let me finish. You got 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, we can work that out.
Yeah, the Republicans are going to create, for the real sports guys, we might have our entire drop. We might have a series of drops from the Republicans.
Yeah, we're going to have to turn that we're going to have to turn that into a segment where we just come up with something off the top of our heads and we can just, I don't have the facts to back this up, but.
there are times where I'm thinking like that, like, do I have the facts to back this up? So, yeah, we have to do an entire segment on that.
Right. As we're talking now, I was thinking that way too, like, man, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's just not your audience. Okay.
Oh man!
Either one of y'all see the Hopkins fight?
Nah, man, I didn't. I'm gonna have to wait on the replay.
Was it Dawson Hopkins?
Yeah, Dawson got him.
He did?
Yeah.
TKO.
It was controversy though. I think it was I haven't seen the video. I'm hoping HBO plays it this weekend, but I guess. Hopkins got tackled or something, or I don't know, but Hopkins is fighting it under dispute. So,
really,
you know, Hopkins is not allowed himself to get beat,
right?
Yeah, he also stopped him in the second round. It was a hard finish.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a TKO, I think. So,
wow.
I mean, it's almost like it even happened. You know, it's like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, you know, it's one of them kind of situations.
Right.
I just happened to see something on Yahoo Sports talking about the Hopkins was fighting tonight. I'm like, okay, I was looking on HBO, and it was like on pay-per-view for $50. I said, wait a minute. Come on now. Are they really trying to do a B-Hop fight for pay-per-view? Really?
No.
Right. Yeah, man.
They could have shown that one on ABC.
Yeah, I knew he was fighting, but I wasn't going to pay for it.
Right.
I mean, it's a Hopkins fight, man. It's a Hopkins fight. He's going to stand there and block. The other cat's going to punch. He's going to block. He's going to hit him a couple times, then he's going to block.
Yeah, that should have been HBO or Showtime right there. That might have been Boxing After Dark.
Yeah.
Friday night fights.
Seriously.
Boxing can take something from MMA. You know, they're doing a couple fights on regular television. We need to get back to that ABC Wild World of Sports stuff every once in a while.
Hey, and they coming out now saying that these pitchers, for Boston also was drinking beer in the dugout. That does bring a whole other flavor to it.
Yeah, man. The rabbit hole gets deeper.
Right. You know, unnamed team personnel are reporting this.
Right. Stop snitching.
The boss gets
to deal with another team, and now everybody's snitching. Because the GM then left.
They all snitching up.
Wow, season started, man. I talk about just irrelevant. Wow.
Right. All right, fellas, I'm going to call it a night, man.
Right,
it was a good show. Good chatting with you fellas.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
Yeah, man. All right. Be easy.
All right.